This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
Are we rolling?
We're already rolling?
On the river.
Rolling! I don't have to pay for that.
Exactly. I am so I can't even tell you how excited I am about this bottle of Vida that you just brought us.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
This is so beautiful.
He loves us.
Is this from San Luis Potosí?
No, it's from Oaxaca.
Oh, okay. Vida de San Luis del Río, hecho en México. 100% agave mezcal. Michael, wow. that is the sweetest thing.
Thank you, Michael.
Could ever do.
That's, I'm so privileged. I'm even smacking on the orange beforehand.
Bring me alcohol. That shows you love
and
me.
And he even cut up the oranges for us.
This was my jam this summer. Not this particular brand.
Okay.
But mezcal, like it just, I couldn't drink anything else. I mean,
Mescalia. I was trying to make a joke, like a mezcal magical, like summer.
Of course, the Vida is going to be great.
Mezcal.
Mezcal. You better copyright that shit, girl.
That's right. Copyright.
That'll be our first t-shirt.
Copywritten right now.
Yes. We are going to delete that out because we don't want them to get that money.
Mm-mm.
We're not going to let them have that one.
No, ma'am.
But thank you, Michael. And can we try it right now?
Please.
All right.
That's what it's for. That's for.
Okay, we got a toast.
Okay, so okay, Kim, you've never had mezcal, right?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well.
Not that I remember.
Well, you would remember. Believe me. It's very distinctive.
Okay.
You know, it's from this agave, like as tequila is, and pulque, and posh, right? Oh, no, posh was corn.
Posh is made from corn.
But this, it's very smoky. And it's tasty, and it's a little more savory, which is what I like about it.
Yeah. All right.
So let's see what you think. Remember,
okay.
Cheers. Salud, everybody.
Cheers. Salud. I will not chunk it.
There we go.
Okay.
And hey, we got a toast. Don't put your lips on it yet.
Sorry. What are we toasting to?
Right, we're toasting to our prosperity and the knowledge that we're sending out through the airwaves.
To the universe.
To the universe.
I love it. I'll drink to that.
Yes. Oh, you know what? And as an addendum to that,
okay,
I would like to thank a certain someone on Twitter, Go Black Boy Go, an audio blog of my journey applying to and navigating grad school. I hope to inspire other black, brown, queer folks like me.
Yes.
And they give us a great shout out. They ask people to follow us on Twitter. So we really appreciate that. And so, yeah, we're going to start listening to yours. I hadn't known about yours, but now I have a new podcast to listen to.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to check it out, too.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to drink this, too.
Oh,
I've been
talking
for a long time. Can we drink this now, please?
Okay. Go, and black boy. Go.
One, two, three. Okay. And.
Wow. It's got a little.
Right.
Yeah, a little ninja kick there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a really good mezcal.
Right? It's espadín.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Michael, like you went all out for us.
I love this.
It wasn't too bad. For something.
It wasn't too bad.
Oh, his birthday's coming up. That's what it is.
Oh.
We're a month. True. We've got a month less.
So is yours.
I know, but yours comes up first because you're older.
And wiser.
That's awesome.
Budweiser.
That was good. Yeah. Because
well, since you're so wise, why don't you pop the news and feed the children for us?
All right, let's pop it.
The news.
Our first story for Pop the News and Feed the Children has to do with workers at Amazon. Yes, Amazon, the corporate juggernaut that is taking over the world and shutting down lots of mom and pop businesses, and we all use it anyway, don't we?
I know.
Yeah.
It'd be hard not to, but I, you know, if I had to, I would.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Walmart.
Actually, I have not been to a Walmart in forever.
For that, the whole segment.
Y'all don't have children. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
You talked about conglomerate taking over the world, killing all business. I thought, oh, we're talking about Walmart? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Amazon. It's Amazon. Amazon. Okay.
Anyways, his workers at Amazon,
the new Walmart,
have complained. Several of them got together and wrote a comment to the CEO of Amazon, citing their unhappiness with something they're working on or that they have worked on.
Wow.
Yes. This is from an article in Independent. And the letter that they wrote says, "As ethically concerned Amazonians, we demand a choice in what we build and a say in how it is used. We learn from history and we understand how IBM's systems were employed in the 1940s to help Hitler."
Wow.
That's a pretty stark comparison there. And the letter goes on to say, "IBM did not take responsibility then, and by the time their role was understood, it was too late. We will not let that happen again. The time to act is now." So specifically, the workers are speaking about the Amazon facial recognition technology and other things that they've created that are being employed by ICE. Mm. And law enforcement here in the States.
Mm-hmm. And the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're like, we don't want to be complicit in what's going on here. Mm. With children being taken from their parents, from, you know, people just being detained indefinitely and locked up in concentration camps. And so anyways, that's their way of protesting.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement from them. I'd be interested to see, and we'll be looking to see what Jeff Bezos' reaction is going to be, you know, to that, and especially how that plays out in the media, because, mm-hmm. You know, Jeff is an interesting CEO for lots of reasons.
Yes.
He's the richest man in the world right now.
Yeah.
And I would be interested to see what he thinks about that and, you know, what his statement's going to be going forward.
Our second story comes from the Texas Tribune. And the title is, "Report says gentrification threatens to displace Austin's low-income residents, communities of color." No shit, Sherlock. This has been happening for a while. You know, I appreciate that there is coverage, but it's kind of late. But this article mostly focuses on a study that's been done at UT Austin. And it's called Uprooted. And so they were studying, you know, residential displacement in the city. And some of that stuff was to be presented to the Austin City Council this past week. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, too. Mm-hmm. But basically, the thing that I found interesting and kind of not new, because you kind of already knew this, but, you know, yes, people of color and lower income people are being pushed out of the city. But the study goes on to discuss how these policies that are, you know, aiding gentrification are also not just kicking people out of the city, but it's keeping them from acquiring wealth and being successful to climb the ladder to get themselves out of the hole that they were in the first place.
Yeah, to get the jobs and the services that they're mm-hmm. Accustomed to from living in those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of a vicious cycle because, you know, we've seen this trend in all of the major cities in the country. And I was thinking about this as I was driving down South First today and mm-hmm. just looking at all the development that's going on down there, all the condos that are going up. And that's happening all over the city. You know, mm-hmm. it's not a stretch to imagine that in a few years, 10 years probably, there will really be hardly any people of color in Austin Central.
Yeah.
And that's happening. It's already there.
Yeah, driving up the property taxes so high that people are having to move to survive.
Yeah, but the point that you're making about the fact that it's keeps them from attaining economic mobility because they're being pushed further and further away from where the jobs are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a vicious cycle that way, you know, and it will just repeat itself, right? Perpetuate itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is essentially, you know, the economic racism that's always existed in this country. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And it's happening quite disproportionately here in the city, or at least the pace of it is. Point in the article says, absent major interventions by the city of Austin and other stakeholders, these residents, who are largely low-income persons of color, will be pushed out farther away from their opportunity and dislocated from their communities. In the process, neighborhoods will have historically been home to African Americans and Hispanic residents will lose their cultural character and become enclaves for largely white, wealthier residents. Don't at me. I didn't say that. That was the study.
Yeah.
I mean, did they have to do a study? Couldn't they have just driven down? Couldn't they have just driven down East 6, South First? Could they have driven in the Domain? Could they have just...
Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you that so many people who are not of color, since it's not their daily experience, there is this...
Yeah.
Blind spot mm-hmm. where they cannot see... until they have it on paper and there's statistics involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, the report was commissioned by the city of Austin to study the issue. But again, it's like...
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's great. But it's like...
That's a great point
that you make, happening. This has been happening for a long time.
Yeah, and that's a great point you make to Kim. That's a great point you make also. It's, you know... that it's spelled out on paper for people to easily understand. It doesn't become this kind of hypothetical, you know what I mean? It's like, these are the data. This is what it says. So now we have to decide what we want to do about it. Do we want to do something about it? Or are we just going to, you know, say, oh, we did a study and nothing's really going to change. I'm going to have to drink a shot for this next story, you guys, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. God.
A little ASMR for your listening pleasure.
Mm-hmm. You need an orange?
No, I got one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The reason why I needed a shot for that is because we are talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. Yet again, if you've been following the news, you know that the potential Supreme Court Justice, Brett Kavanaugh, will have to meet with the Senate Judiciary Committee one more time before he becomes y'all's new Supreme Court Justice. That's because of the allegations that were brought up against him by Christine Blasey Ford, allegations that most people were surprised by, to say the least. If you are living under a stone, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. When she was 15 years old, she alleges that then 17-year-old Brett Kavanaugh attempted to rape her in a high school party. And you can, of course, read all the details online. But fast forward to now, on Thursday, as of this recording of this podcast, on Thursday, she will have to go up to Capitol Hill and sit in front of a panel of all white male Republican senators and explain what happened to her 27 years ago and try to convince them that she's telling the truth. So...
Wow.
Deja vu.
Does that sound familiar to you guys?
It also sounds like a horrific experience.
Can you imagine?
I mean, and it seems so unfair.
Just insane. Right?
You know, all white, male, Republican. It's just, that's not fair for her.
Yeah. Well, there's so much not fair for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's been reported that she's received death threats, that she's actually kind of feeling like she's on the run. She had to move out of her house because, you know, the lunatics out there, the Trump voters.
Imagine that. Not only are you having to survive and deal with the after effects of being raped, but...
Your whole life.
But now you have to talk about it on public TV... and be skewered by people.
Yeah.
And be threatened, have your life threatened, and have to move. And okay, you think, here's my thing. These Trump supporters who are threatening her or anybody saying that she's lying, look what she's having to go through. Why would somebody just lie?
Yeah, who would put themselves through that?
Mm-hmm. To do that.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. Well, I'll go one step beyond that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the whole he said, she said that we're going to witness on Thursday, there's one vital question I think most viewers need to think about, which is only one of those two people, her or him, actually want an FBI investigation. Yeah. Mm. She wants an FBI investigation. Mm-hmm. He does not.
Right.
So that tells me all that I need to know. Mm-hmm. One of you really knows, wants the truth to come out, and one of you does not.
Yeah.
So. But it does remind, like you're saying, deja vu, it does remind me of when I was a kid watching Anita Hill mm-hmm. and Clarence Thomas. Yeah. Do you guys remember that? That was in 1991. That was like 20 some odd years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we are literally reliving that history. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was so like struck by that. I went back and I watched some of that old footage mm-hmm. and I pulled out some clips that were just too perfect considering what's going on right now.
Wow.
This was Anita Hill back in 1991 when she faced the Republicans, all white men, and the Democrats, all white men back then too, to explain her allegations and what had happened to her.
Relationship became even more strained when Judge Thomas began to use work situations to discuss sex. After a brief discussion of work, he would turn the conversation to a discussion of sexual matters. His conversations were very vivid. He spoke about acts that he had seen in pornographic films involving such matters as women having sex with animals, and films showing group sex or rape scenes. He talked about pornographic materials depicting individuals with large penises or large breasts involved in various sex acts. On several occasions, Thomas told me graphically of his own sexual prowess. Because I was extremely uncomfortable talking about sex with him at all, and particularly in such a graphic way, I told him that I did not want to talk about these subjects. The comments were random and ranged from pressing me about why I didn't go out with him to remarks about my personal appearance. I remember his saying that someday I would have to tell him the real reason that I wouldn't go out with him.
And it goes on from there. But to see her facing that panel, and I just immediately thought of what's going to happen on Thursday, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a repeat of it. You know, there's no way that either one of these people are going to be able to, you know, provide proof, given the fact that there's not going to be an investigation. The Republicans made sure of that.
Yeah.
So it literally becomes a he said, she said. It mm-hmm. becomes the thing that women hate the most.
Yeah.
The thing that keeps people from coming out in the first place when they do suffer from abuse.
It's so hard.
That thing is on display for the entire nation in front of everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, talk about inner strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to have to pull out everything, every fiber of strength that she has to combat this.
To do that. You know, and of course, you know, you have to think about the other side too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Supporters of Brett Kavanaugh would say to you, to us, that, well, but, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, right? And until somebody is actually determined to have done something and it's proven, you have to assume that there's innocence there, right? Blah, 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 blah. Of course, I went back and I listened to Clarence Thomas's, 1991 defense of himself. Mm-hmm. That was the time, I don't know if you guys ever heard the sound, where he said this was a high-tech lynching. Did you guys ever remember?
I remember that phrase, yeah.
Well, that's where that came from, because, you know, it was a mm-hmm. media circus, mm-hmm. and he basically was saying, you know, you guys put me up on the screen like I'm this deviant N-word,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, for all these people to see. It was a high-tech lynching. But anyway, this was Clarence Thomas defending himself.
Did you have any idea what you were going to have to, quote, take, unquote? Did you think you'd have to face scurrilous accusations like those which you have refuted?
Senator, I expected it to be banned. I did not expect this circus. I did not expect this charge against my name. I expected people to do anything, but not this. And if by going through this, another nominee in the future or another American won't have to go through it, then so be it.
So another American is having to go through that. And so I guess, you know, it didn't work, Clarence. But, you know, deja vu. Mm-hmm. Here we are. And so we will see on Thursday what happens when he said, she said, plays out again on national television in front of the entire world. And
of course, no precedent's been set for how to deal with something like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They haven't figured out in this almost 30 years how to handle when something like this comes up.
For all those wonderful little bits and bobbles on the web that catch your eye, we have What Exactly Do You Meme? This from @FatNutritionist. If the point of having a society isn't to care for each other, to ease suffering and realize each other's life's potential, literally what's the point? To hoard wealth? To build empires on other people's throats? Life is brief. Nothing lasts. Wealth and empires are pointless violence.
From @SamaraLeilani. Hackers need to step the fuck up and delete everyone's student loans.
Senator Susan Collins on Al Franken. I did find the allegations against him to be both credible, disgusting, and appalling. Senator Susan Collins on Brett Kavanaugh. I don't know enough to make a judgment.
I don't know why men go to bars to try and meet women. Go to Target. The female to male ratio is like 10 to 1, and they're already looking for crap they don't need.
At the Vixen's World. No one is garbage. No one is trash. No one is canceled. Everyone can be wrong and learn from it and grow. People are not disposable. Hearts and minds can always be changed.
If all eligible young women voted, you would have the power to determine every period, single period, election period.
From Andy Borowitz. I don't want Trump to text me that there is an emergency. I want Mueller to text me that the emergency is over.
This from Cerebronas. You think astrology is fucked up? Some parents believe the shape of a baby's genitals predict their favorite toys, hobbies, and colors.
From @NoHoesShady. I'm 21 fucking years old, and I just learned that this little piggy went to the market doesn't mean he went food shopping.
From @JuiceBoxJetpack. Conservatives and progressives have the same complaint. We work hard. Why should some lazy asshole get all my money? We just disagree on who the asshole is. The family on food stamps trying to get by, or the dude paying cash for a third mega yacht.
Ladies, if you think your man is cheating, take him to the bitch's front door and see if his Wi-Fi connects automatically.
There's plenty of fish in the sea, but you know what else there is? Trash. There's a lot of trash in the sea.
At We Need Feminism, slut is attacking women for their right to say yes. Friend zone is attacking women for their right to say no. And bitch is attacking women for their right to call you on it.
From @BenRosen.
At Here Jeep. I want a Venn diagram of people willing to argue, give Kavanaugh a break. He was only 17. And Trayvon Martin got what he deserved.
Lo impactante no es que Beto y Enrique sean pareja. Lo impactante es que hasta esos títeres tienen una relación y tú no.
Men report sexual assault by priest 30 years later equals public outrage. Women report sexual assault 30 years later equals public doubt.
Me. White people can't dance. LOL. White people. Okay, but if I call you a cotton-picking nigger, then I'm the racist one, right? Racism works both ways. Pull your pants up if you don't want cops fucking killing you. @BlockboyDeku.
Growing up Latino, un pajarito me contó meant someone snitched you out.
How some of y'all say you want to travel the world, but are rude as fuck to people that don't speak English. Laugh my ass off. Fellas, if you believe queer women just need the right dick, keep that same energy when a gay man says the same about you.
@KayleeJoy. A woman is trying to protect us from putting an attempted rapist on the Supreme Court. And she's going to be destroyed for it. And she knows it. And she's doing it anyway. That is patriotism.
@AllisonCollins. Imagine trying to learn English and finding out that butt dialing and booty calls are two different things.
That is all we have this week for What Exactly Do You Meme? If you have any great text-based memes you would want us to share online, please, please, please share them with us. Either tag us in them, or you can email them to us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com. despite the stinging of cheeks from last week's clapback, we have a new one this week, and this one's really juicy as well. Just to give you a bit of context, Dinesh D'Souza, an Indian-born American immigrant who is a far-right political commentator, okay? First of all, digest that. He gets clapped back this week by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's the badass that won the Democratic primary in New York's 14th congressional district.
Beating like an incumbent who'd been in there forever.
Yeah, one of the biggest upsets in this election season.
So what did he say?
He tweets, "Normally, colonies provide resources for the nation that rules them. What does Puerto Rico provide the U.S.?
Well, they're American citizens, for starters.
Yeah, right. Well.
So there's that.
Uh-huh. And like, why do they have to, quote unquote, provide something?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweets back in a bend you over the knee, backhanded clapback. First, hundreds of thousands of soldiers to the U.S. military. National supply of hospital IV bags and medical supplies. Historically, sugar, coffee, crops, a strategic port in the Atlantic, and importantly for the 1%, one of the biggest loophole tax havens for the super rich. It is revealing that this question A comes from quite the colonial mindset of what value is this territory providing us anyway? Do we ask that about Appalachia, etc.? B implies that Puerto Rican's current status is somehow an act of charity, also a sentiment rooted in colonialism."
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Oof. Good for her.
She is a badass.
Absolutely.
She is the new Bernie, you know? She's the young second incarnation of democratic socialism.
Yeah.
She's the hope of the future.
And I'm glad she's in touch with racial
realities.
realities, yeah. You know, because that is missing.
Unlike Dinesh. Dinesh, you got clapped back, bitch. Mm-hmm. And it was good.
You know, the spiel, opinions are like assholes.
Everybody's got one.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, tell us about yours. Your opinion. Your opinion, please.
Yes, of course. I almost went there. No, this week's opinion is like assholes is actually inspired by an article in PicaraMagazine.com in which they ask the central question, should straight actors be playing trans characters and gay characters? Specifically, the article talks about how transsexual actors don't really have a lot of opportunities for work. Why are we giving them to straight actors? And can those people who are playing these trans characters, these gay characters, really connect with what it's like to really be in their shoes, if you will? And so this, of course, dovetails right into me and Michael's new favorite show, La Casa de las Flores. I was trying to do my Spanish accent.
Yeah, oh, okay. No, honey.
Like the trans character. The trans character in that story, of course, is played by Paco León. Yeah, Paco León. I don't know if he's Espanol, if he's Spanish, but he's playing this trans character on this show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, me and Michael have different opinions about this. Kim, when we show you this show, we're going to see whose side you're on.
Okay.
Mine or Michael's, because we have different opinions. Michael, go ahead and tell them what you think. What's your opinion about this?
Well, no. Overall, you know, I enjoy the show, and I think there's really great stuff, lots of visibility that helps different communities in the show. But
gay, bi, trans.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's just little things that niggle me that I'm just like, I don't know.
His character?
Not so much the character. Well, I mean, obviously there's...
Maybe his acting of it.
So I think the actor does an admirable job, but it still comes across as a cis male dressing as a woman for a part.
Does it to you?
It does.
See, I don't know.
You think
I
feel, it what? Saying
it? Yeah, it doesn't seem like a trans person to me.
It seems like a guy, straight guy, who is just in a dress playing a trans person.
To me, it read more as like a heterosexual transvestite than a trans character.
Okay. Wow.
You know, they did have, you know, the writing, there's great stuff. Like when she gets his ex-wife asked to touch his breasts.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I just, it's still got in my head. Like, I knew, without even looking it up, like, I knew that wasn't a trans actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured, I'm sorry. I on the other hand, felt like he was giving a best faith effort acting performance. Like, I really feel like Paco León was, he's really going there. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't read to me as a guy in a dress. It read to me as an actor really, really putting in the work to try to seem feminine, to relay a trans person and that journey that a person who is trans goes on. And I felt all of that. I actually like when he's on screen. I think he literally lights
up. Is he hot, Dave?
No. He's okay. I think that, I mean, he's a handsome man, yes. But every time he is on screen, I want to look at that character, you know, and I want to know that character's story, that trans story that's in this crazy Mexican soap opera. It's really great.
Okay, but here's my first instinct on it. Okay. I'll tell you, without even watching it, my first instinct is, why get a white man to do a black man's role?
Would you do that?
No.
No.
Because, and I think it's equal. Mm-hmm. To me, why get someone to have to research the role when you can have someone who lived the role?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to bring it more authentic? Argument.
Yeah.
Who's going to bring it more authentic than someone who actually has been through that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a healing process for that individual and the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I can't argue with that at all. I can't.
And I see what you're coming from because, like, yes, they're actors, so they're supposed to be able to be different people and take on different things, but when there are so few roles for trans actors, like, you know, so
you shouldn't go ahead.
Something that comes to mind is the show Transparent, which I think you watched like the first couple of seasons when
too.
You know,
that's what I wanted to ask you. What about his interpretation?
Yeah. So yeah, that, well, now there's the main actor, Jeffrey Tambor. I forget how you pronounce his name. He ended up being a really creepy sexual predator type person too.
Yeah.
But
they canceled the show because of that.
No, I think they're going to kill off his character.
Oh, they killed him off like Roseanne style.
I believe so.
Wow.
Last I heard. Wow. But anyway, he did an admirable job, like you're saying this actor does. But when he's next to the actual trans actors who are on the show, it's night and day. Like you see through the lie. You know,
it's not as authentic.
Yeah.
It looks like acting to you.
Yeah.
I get you.
Like, you know, when he's at scenes by himself, mm-hmm. Or this character who he plays is female identifying, the name is Mara. When she's on the screen by herself with other, you know, non-trans characters, like, you know, great stuff. I mean, he's a brilliant actor for all his, you know, sexual shortcomings and deviance. But,
Yeah.
Apparently, like, actually, one of the trans actors on the show, he's accused of being inappropriate with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a shame, because that was a good show, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess, you know, a lot of people obviously agree with you and Kim's point because, you know, I mean, it brings to mind what happened with Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson, the beautiful goddess that she is, in a movie, Rub and Tug, as she was to play a transgender character, but she got some backlash from the LGBT community, and they felt like it should have gone to a transgender actor.
It kind of reminds me of what had happened to her months prior. Mm-hmm. Or actually, no, she didn't pull out of the other movie. There was a movie called, what was it, Ghost in the Shell, where she got in a lot of trouble because she was playing
an Asian character,
yes, Japanese character, right? So I don't know what's up with Scarlett and her agent, but she seems to always want to get roles that are like really not waify white girl roles.
Yeah.
Like, well, either she's going to be Asian, she's going to be trans. Like, I mean, maybe that's my point. Exactly, guys. It's like, who are we to say that, hey, why can't, if she could convincingly play that character, could we just respect the art of acting, you know?
Okay,
I've been an actor, and I know what that process is like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's like,
okay,
something that you're not. That's acting.
I believe in the right to do it.
Okay.
Okay? So that's, I'm not saying they don't have the right to audition. I'm just saying, for the people casting for that role, mm-hmm. why not look for an authentic individual who has lived that experience and who can really reach an audience in a sincere, I mean, who can mm-hmm. be more authentic than someone who's gone through it?
Yeah.
And just give jobs to people who are Asian and trans and black yes. and Hispanic. Well,
and this reminds right? me, and this is going to totally date me, but like on Strangers with Candy, the show from the mid-90s uh-huh. with Amy Sedaris, there was an episode where the school was casting a play. They were casting for Raisin in the Sun.
Raisin in the Sun.
And it was an all-white cast.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
No, that was a great scene.
And they cast
all white people and then the black people were played like trees.
Yes. Okay. So it was horrific.
I forgot that.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. To me, it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's like, if there are no black people available, okay. I get it.
Yeah. But on the show, they literally had them all playing trees.
But yeah, they were playing trees.
So maybe this movie could get like a trans person to like play a car or something. Because they're great acting, you know? You can be anything you want.
Except the star.
We're going to start now with a brand new segment, everybody. This one is called No, But Really, What Are You? It's kind of a play on the whole question that a lot of people of color who are maybe not as easy to read.
You're so well spoken. Where are you from? No, seriously. Where are you from?
Yeah, what are you? That's the one that always gets me. It's like, what are you? Like, you're a thing.
What are you?
What do you mean? Like a person? Yes. A
inanimate object. Yes.
And so to have a little fun with this idea, we're going to do this segment periodically in which we take online quizzes to find out what kind of sandwich we are, what kind of rock we are, you know? But this week, we're going to do one.
Well, I'll tell you while you're pulling it up. Yep. Sorry. I actually had this guy who is disappointed that I was black because he was like, so what are you? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what's my nationality? Or where state am I from? And he says, no, yeah, like, what's your nationality? And I was like, black. I'm from Virginia. And he goes, is that it?
Wow.
Like, he wanted me to say, like, you know, I'm from, you know, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
Or, you know, or something. Yeah.
That's great that we both went to Zimbabwe. So what's this first quiz that we're taking today?
All right. So this one is from Mitu. And it is, finally, take this quiz and find out which Selena Quintanilla you are.
Oh, my God. BuzzFeed had, like, the same quiz. But I'll take this one, too. Oh,
okay, good. All right. So, I haven't done mine.
Yeah, what kind of questions do they have?
So, let's find out.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, here we go. First question is, where would you rather spend spring break?
A beach, explore a new city, Obvi. Staycation. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys?
Well, I would totally be like, explore a new
city. Okay, we're gonna obviously put that for sure.
That one's mine too.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your favorite Selena song? No me queda más, amor prohibido, dreaming of you, or El Chico de Apartamento 526.
See, I picked dreaming of you. Oh, I'm just nostalgic about that one.
I know. I had to put no me queda más. I did too. I love that song.
Well, okay. it was between that one and Amor Prohibido.
Yeah.
I'll do
no me queda más. Yeah, okay. What would you eat after a night of partying? A whole pizza, taco trucks, Whataburger, or I'm watching my curves? Well, I can attest that last night I had a breakdown and I ordered a whole medium pizza and ate it by myself at 12 o'clock at night. So
I know. I was there.
I know. It was a mess. I'm sorry.
I put Whataburger because, you know, it would be right for me.
Fries.
Oh, that's true. Your French fries. She is the queen of fry.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I would say... And of course, I have to qualify this. If there was a vegan taco truck out front.
If there was.
Yeah, when Mexico City, I went to a couple. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be my spot.
Okay, that's it. You're going to put tacos.
Yeah.
Who's your BFF in your family?
Sister, dad, brother, mom.
My mom. My mom. Yeah. She's my best friend. Yeah.
I put my dad.
Oh, so sweet. Okay, next question. Do you believe in love after love? This is not a share quiz.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. It's just kind of like, do I believe in love? I don't know if I believe in love.
Of course, I already found my one. That's not me. It might be a thing. I'm not sure yet. Maybe. No, actually, no.
I'm going to say
I
not.
I love you guys.
So. I'm so busy, I completely forgot that love was a thing.
I think we have a winner.
That's me.
I think we have a winner.
Damn. Okay.
My dream significant other spoils me, is loving, is family oriented, or is hot.
I put spoils me.
Oh.
Isn't that horrible? It's shallow.
No, it's not shallow. Oh. I put as hot. Is that shallower? Okay.
These are the only options. Oh, what about is good with tools and helping?
That's all you want? Oh my god!
I guess I'm looking for an assistant.
You are. You're looking for a housework. Okay,
Michael.
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna pick mine.
Okay.
I guess is loving. Okay.
Okay. Good. What about that? You okay? You lost your mom's
boring.
Favorite. I know.
Just I know. Kidding.
No. You lost your mom's favorite Tupperware. What do you do? Run away from home? Shit. Convince her that it was never that good anyway? Buy her a new set so she forgets, or pretend I never borrowed it?
Oh, I ran away from home.
Ran away from home.
I totally buy her a new set so she forgets.
Really? Do you think she would forget?
I don't think she would forget, but I think she would like what I bought her.
You would try. To see if mm-hmm. it worked. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Knowing my mom, I'm going to convince her that she don't need that anyway. So, no. Okay. And then, what beauty product is always in your purse, ladies? My hair gel, my teeth whiteners, my mascara, or my red lipstick?
I want y'all to guess for me.
Lipstick.
Yes.
So easy. I'm going to go lipstick, too. Even though I don't wear lipstick, but that's the only thing.
I don't use any of these things.
Of course not.
Well, I guess I use something in my hair. So that's the closest thing is hair gel.
Okay. We'll there you that. Go. Okay. So, all right. Who dominates your playlist? Jenny Rivera, Mariah Carey, Jennifer Lopez, or Romeo Santos? Oh, Jennifer Lopez, of course.
I don't have any of those.
See, I would have had Mariah. Come on, honey.
Mariah.
In the old days, Mariah.
Oh, okay.
Not I'm too good for TV and
singing and dancing
and doing trying anything. On and moving stage.
Yeah, no, she's done. Okay, so.
So what do I don't know what to put. I guess I'll put Jenny Rivera.
She was my hero.
Jennifer Lopez. I speak Spanish because my parents made sure we spoke only Spanish at home. It was my first language. How else could I talk cheese may in public? And I needed it to fit in. Cheese may.
Yep, that's what I picked. What is cheese may?
Cheese may is like the gossip.
Okay,
the
yeah.
tea, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm kind of in between these.
Okay. So
the first one, my parents made sure we spoke only Spanish at home. I mean, we didn't speak just Spanish. We spoke both languages.
Okay.
But then also, it was my first language. Well, yes, it was, but also it was English, so. Mm-hmm. Let me say.
Cheese may.
No.
Kiss
I'll say it was my first language.
Okay.
That's the closest one.
What reality show are you all caught up on? None of these.
I put Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
You do.
Do you really watch that?
No, but out of all of those, I've watched more of that than any of the others.
Okay. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it is. And
I mean, they it's are calculating. Hot.
I don't know which one.
I just like to look at them.
It's calculating. Oh my
which
god.
Which one would I watch? Which one would I watch?
I'm so shallow.
I got my results.
I got mine too. I like mine, even though I sound shallow.
Andale, Michael.
Okay, I'm done. Okay. So, which one are you, Dave?
I am the iconic Selena. So you are a friend in the group that comes up with catchphrases and all the inside jokes. It's not like you're actually trying to make an impression. You just do. Just like La Reina, you will always be remembered by everyone close to you. Iconic Selena.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. Kim?
I got the same.
You got the same.
We are twins.
We're iconic.
Well, I got designer Selena.
Oh, go ahead, girl. See, you're the artist.
Like Queen Selena, you're the fashion starter. Like back in the 90s, you were probably the first of your friends to wear a choker necklace, and it always looked better on you. Keep chasing your creative dreams, and eventually it will pay off. Oh, I like that.
That's so great.
Yes.
Ooh.
Michael, this could be like a harbinger of like things to come for
yes,
you.
Yes, right? Get it.
You go, designer Selena.
Wow. So if you guys want to take this quiz, just go to wearemeetoo.com and take the quiz.
Yes. And we'll have another one for you guys next week while we give all of our pertinent information to Cambridge Analytica. Join us.
Y ahora con Lecciones Learns, aquí estamos Michael and Kim para aprender un poco más español. Michael, take it away.
All right. We're going to focus this week on idioms. This is kind of a theme that we'll be hitting frequently. The idioms we're looking at this week are tener pájaros en la cabeza and entrar con buen pie.
So before we begin, we should probably review for people who don't know, like me. What are idioms in the first place? What is an idiom?
So it's like a common phrase or saying that isn't literal.
It's a common phrase, but like it doesn't really literally make sense.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Cool.
So like an English example would be, it's raining cats and dogs.
It's raining cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
For the dogs and the cats.
Yeah, and us, the people.
Yeah.
I know, for everybody.
So this first one actually has animals as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wait, let me see if I can translate.
Okay, okay. I'm going to read it out loud. Tener pájaros en la cabeza.
To have birds in the head.
Look at you.
Very good. She's been such a good student.
Mm-hmm. So to have birds in your head.
Of course.
What do you think that means?
Yeah, that doesn't really mean have birds. I mean, can you really have birds?
You got to be crazy, right? Or did you get your head hard?
Oh, that's
could be. I guess if you get your head hit hard enough, this could happen. This actually means to be idealistic. So if you just got like, you know, pie in the eye. Oh, there's another idiom.
Pie in the sky.
Or pie in the sky.
Pie in the eye. You got a pie in the eye.
You got pie in the eye. You've been in a food fight.
Yeah. No, pie in the eye. Pie in the sky.
Charlie Chapman.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, just totally idealistic.
Okay.
I can kind of see that one because like the birds are flighty and trying to carry you off.
Tener pájaros en la cabeza.
Yes.
No vas a la escuela. Okay. All right. Next.
Okay, Kimmy. Next one. I'll let you read this one on your own.
Okay. Let me make it big so I can see it. Entrar con buen pie?
Yeah.
Entrar con buen pie.
Entrar con buen pie. So.
Entrar con bien pie.
So what do you think that means? Buen pie.
Buen pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
To enter mm-hmm. with good
pie.
No. That's a funny word that a lot of people think means is pie. Yeah. But it could mean anything more opposite. It means foot.
Oh.
Pie is foot.
Oh. Mm-hmm. To
Pie's
enter
foot.
The good foot?
Yeah. To enter with good foot.
To enter on the good foot.
On the good foot.
Oh.
So what do you think that means? That one's...
Yeah, like you're ahead of the game.
Okay, like James Brown.
Good foot. On a good foot. Yes, that's what I thought immediately. Yeah.
Well, it literally means to approach or start something off well.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when you just like have that...
That bounce in your step.
Yeah, or like you're going to do something and you're like, okay, I've never done this maybe, and you like do it well. You're like, that's entrar con buen pie.
Entrar con buen pie.
I like it.
That's really good. You got any more?
I do. The next one is... No tener pelos en la lengua.
No tener pelos en la lengua. Any idea? You look like you're confused with that one.
Okay, you know the first word.
Yet not no. to have.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
To not have.
It's pelos.
Pelos en la lengua.
Here, I'm gonna give you a clue, Kim.
Those are pelos. Can you hear the pelos, audience?
Hairs.
Yeah, hairs. And then lengua is this.
To not have hairs in the tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, from like the act?
Oh my God.
This has nothing to do with cunnilingus, okay?
Or fellatio.
Don't do with that. Okay?
No. But I mean, you got
literal
meaning.
Translation. To not have hairs in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that really mean?
It actually means to say what you think. So You are someone who is very much sin pelos en la lengua.
Sin pelos en la lengua.
Yeah, no tener pelos en la lengua.
You say what you want to say. I have no idea where that idiom comes from. How does that?
I don't at school, man. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You're what?
I don't say what I want to say. I hold back. At work. For, you know, for my job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. We all do that. Okay. Yeah. So we do have pelos en la lengua, technically.
Yeah, at work.
Oh, we all do.
All right, the final one is decir algo con la boca pequeña.
I like that. Yeah.
First of all, I want to hear you try to say that, Kim. That was, that was a
that's a hard one.
Decir algo con la boca pequeña.
Very good.
Yeah. She's always had a great accent.
She's very good. Decir algo con la boca pequeña.
Let's see. Try to break it down.
What does that mean?
Okay, to talk.
Talk.
I don't know what algo means, but.
Something.
Okay, to talk something with a small mouth.
Yeah,
to say something with a small mouth. Good.
Very good, Kim. I swear, that's so good. So, what does that mean, though?
Take a guess, Kim.
Decir algo con la boca pequeña.
I'm trying to think if you're saying with a small mouth. Are you being, like, overly proper or something?
To say something without conviction.
Like when guys try to give me head without conviction. Got it. Open now, your mouth.
No, but if you think about it, it kind of makes sense.
It makes sense.
If you're not really standing behind what you say, you're going to say it with a little tiny mouth.
You're going to say it with a tiny mouth.
That's funny.
That one's kind of cute.
That is a good one. Decir algo con la boca pequeña. Now, can we use all of these in one sentence?
Michael? Oh, Jesus.
Come on, Kim. That's your final.
Oh, my gosh.
That's your finals for the year. No, Michael, do it for us. Come on.
I'm not ready.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Can we do it?
That's hard.
I can try it. I can try. In one sentence? Though?
Michael's good at
this. That's hard.
Sentence. Wait, wait. Let hear him out. Michael's good at this shit. Watch.
Okay.
I believe in him. I'm just saying, damn.
Go for it.
Cuando yo tenía pájaros en la cabeza y intentaba entrar con buen pie, pude decir lo que yo pensaba. Yo no tenía ningún pelo en la lengua. Y. Al final, pues no me creí yo mismo, así que lo dije con la boca pequeña.
That might be the longest sentence I've ever heard in my life. That was good, though. You did it.
Wow, you did it. You're so brilliant.
That is the end of this episode.
The end of the
epic. I was trying to do like harmonies with you, but I can't sing, and
No, I didn't go to a...
That wasn't
Brill
harmonic.
Place. No, I was just.
Can I just say one more time on air here how Michael just won me over today with this Vita Mezcal that he brought us?
Yes, go
this
Vita.
This makes my day.
Viva
and it also
Vita.
Makes recording so much more fun. Thank you, Michael.
You are welcome. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in again. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. And keep listening. And always remember to keep those ideals out there, up in the sky, in your head, in the pies in the sky. Y que todos tengan pájaros en la cabeza. Bye.
Bye.
For listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen, join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Who dominates your playlist? Jenny Rivera, Myra Carey. What's her name? Myra Carey.
Myra.
Myra.
I forgot Mariah.
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 Okay. She has left the map so badly.
I forgot
badly.
Her name.
No more mezcal for
I'm
you.
I'm sorry.
Myra.
Myra. She sounds like